Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Our recommendation this week is from Emma Jane Purcell, and her podcast is called
Fail Harder.
She has a savage lineup.
Hell of a lineup, yeah. Who was it again? Tell me.
Paul Mescal was in there, you know, your man with the shorts and the chain who has all the young fellas walking around town.
Panty Bliss, is that what you said? Panty Bliss? Yes. Yeah. Amazing guest. Amazing. But she's very, very good. It's a great concept as well. It's just great to talk about. You know, we always do interviews about everybody and how their great successes, and we forget the line of shit that people have to go through before they get there. And this is basically about the line of shit, which is she's amazing. It's really, really good.
Okay, perfect.
And it's one of the ones I don't have to lie about actually listening to before we started, which is great. That
never lie. Anyway, we highly recommend.
Hello, I'm Emma Jane from Fail Harder, the podcast that chats to people at the top of their game about failure, from their first memory of failure to how they cope with it now. I have some unbelievable guests on the show like Paul Mescal, James Kavanagh, Georgina Campbell, the list just goes on. And of course, we'd be mad to take failure too seriously, so every week I have 20 questions in front of me numbered at random. Most are straightforward, however, some are a little more unconventional, and in the spirit of failure, my guest can pick the number. They might not like the results, but life's not fair, and neither is my podcast.
Don't forget, you can sign up to Head Stuff Plus, where you can get all your bonus Dubland bits. And also, we need to talk about a live show, but we'll tell you about it over there another day when we figure out what we're doing.
Nearly there.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat because you're listening to the Dubland Podcast with Suzanne and PJ.
Shove your Dubland Podcast up your ear holes.
Okay. Anyway, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm a bit shit. Shit, actually, yeah.
Well, to be fair,
this stuff really got up me whole. I couldn't believe it. I was doing I was starting a new job and all, right?
Yeah, congratulations to you and Jim.
Oh,
by the way,
two
most dramatic things. One was Time of My Life, like You Were Both Dying was your last song on the radio station that you used to work for. We won't name them anymore because we don't work for them anymore. Well, you don't, neither do
classic
I.
Classic Kiss, come on, they're not allowed to mention.
And they're not. And I thought it was quite a dramatic ending.
It was dramatic.
And then
ending.
I saw the newspaper the other day. Somebody sent it to me on Instagram of you going, there's no hope.
They caught me on a bad day. They caught me on a bad day. I did, yeah,
I'm so excited to see PJ on Monday.
Oh, I was in the fucking horrors. Do you know what I mean? It was like this pandemic-y fucking wankology has just got me so depressed at the moment. I'm so, I'm down over it. You know, I'm proper down over it. They extended all kinds of everything for God knows how long. It broke me spirit a bit, you know. No, not a bit. No, it didn't. I've been fucking in an awful state over the last while. That won't end. And then you're walking around, you're thinking, you just try and do to yourself.
What?
And you start doing the whole, no. Remind yourself you're one of the lucky ones, right? So you know when you're like, no, I have to remind myself I'm bored and everybody, there's other people that are in real trouble, could be worse.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do that for a while, it doesn't work. Mm. You go into this next chapter of, oh, well, what an ungrateful cunt I am. Fuck me. What a fucking prick. You have everything you need and it's not good enough for you. You miserable shite. And then I stop training and I look at my head. Look at my hair. I'm like a cotton bud with a mouth. You know what I mean? And all the hair is coming out of my ears. I can't even groom or prune anything. I'm looking all weird. I don't like myself anymore. I don't like myself anymore because the pandemic has knocked the bollocks out of me. And like that's genuinely. And then, you know, and then I was in a very, very bad mood. And it happened to be the day we were doing the press call of
a new show.
So I got a call from the Daily Star. Okay. How do you feel? I says, I've given up hope. I've given up hope. And that was the front page. PJ Gallagher says, I've given up hope. And then it opened up, there's a 2-page spread. And the headline was, we have to accept we're all fucked. Was that a headline which I wasn't expecting? Well, I suppose as soon as I said it, I went, they're going to print that.
Well, to be fair, the only thing I will say is at least you were on brand.
I was on brand.
Yeah. You had your Nova face mask.
Face mask
on.
And all, yeah.
So, I mean, that's.
I even had a colour coordinated Fred Perry t shirt. Yeah, I thought that was accidental, obviously, but it worked.
Oh, I wondered, did you do that on purpose?
No, it was accidental, yeah.
I thought, look, if for nothing else, it may be negative, but at least he's on brand negative. Did you know what, though? Joking
and
aside.
Then I got a call from a TV show, a current affairs TV show, that wanted me to go on TV opposite Luke O'Neill. Because Luke O'Neill.
Oh,
you know,
my God, was it Claire Byrne?
I wasn't going to say.
Because I got a phone call to go on Claire Byrne tonight and I said no. Yeah. Because I was on Pack Any on Friday night.
I said
night.
No because I just didn't want to be going on being. I didn't want to be this negative output. I didn't want to be that negative energy. I was like, I can't do it. Luke O'Neill's Mr. Positivity. He's going to be there with his, you know, vaccines, plan, rollout, and all of this. You know what I mean? The last thing the country needs is me looking at a scientist saying, ah, fuck off.
You know, did we not do four episodes of me doing that?
Well, we both have been doing that, but I didn't think, you know, it's different going on the telly with a scientist and saying that, you know. But like, I don't know, it just got to me. I started thinking about this podcast too. I started thinking about this podcast, and this month, last year, we were doing this podcast and we were on here and you were going, no, I think, you know, by the summer now,
we'll be fine.
And I was laughing, ridiculing it. I was saying there's more chance of your kids going to space than there is of them going back to school in September. There's more chance of them being the first toddlers on the fucking moon. And now it's come true. It's actually, it's actually like, there's no sense of, ha, told you. It's you miserable bastard.
But you know,
of course, the whole stock that is gone. The flute is knocked off me with it.
But you know what? To be fair, I think everybody. So I got asked to go on Pat Kenny on Friday morning, right?
Yeah.
Which is Pat Kenny.
Yeah.
It's very grown up.
Yeah, very grown up.
It's like the principal's office of radio.
It is, yeah. Do you know? You have to be a different version of yourself.
Because I can only pretend to be somebody else for a very short span and then me just comes out.
Well, I'm the same, yeah.
So the first probably 2 minutes I was like, hi Pat, great to talk to you. Yeah. And then I went into full me, right? It was like I was on the podcast. But I was on to talk about parents letting their kids have play dates or letting their kids out to play. So I was saying, like, I get it. I get why we don't do it because our kids, you know, don't go out. But I was like, and Hannah chooses not to anyway. She doesn't have pals. She's only four. But I was like, so my son plays Minecraft on Zoom and stuff. So that's what I said. But I get it. And he was like, said something. And I, oh my God, I went full tilt. I was like, the end of the day, Pat, right?
You got stuck in now.
Yeah. The end of the day, Pat. I was like, there's absolutely no hope in sight. I was like, the government have absolutely done
it.
My God. I was like, the vaccination rollout is an absolute joke. I was like, we don't know. None of us know when we're going to get vaccinated. I was like, my mother's 77. We don't even know when she's going to get her vaccination. I was like, it's just an absolute joke. It's a mess. And I said, and Simon Harris seems to be the only person. And he's like, well, what should the government do? Now, the right answer there, PJ, is I don't know, I'm not a politician. Except Suzanne Cain went, here's what the government should do, Pat.
Oh, you go, you got stuck in.
Here's what they should do.
Good, yeah.
I said, I'm sick to death. Of the government throwing stones.
I'll tell you, yeah.
I said, like, we get leaked information. They may come on your show here, Pat, of the Taoiseach on it.
Taxi driver.
Fuck me, I like. Yeah. Now, when I came off, I have to say, by the way, because it's Pat fucking Kenny. Alan, it's Pat Kenny, right?
Yeah, you're
working. Pat Kenny. It's God level. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's more like a sort of a really. It's more like what's that fella's name? The cartoon character. He always reminds me of him. Snagglepuss. He's like Snagglepuss in a suit, isn't he? Suffering succotash.
Oh yeah.
Remember him? Yeah. He's like Snagglepuss. He's got a real Snagglepuss. He's like, you say something like, no, and the government are bastards, and he's like, wow, suffering succotash. When, you know,
right?
I'm going to get so running. He's got a little Snagglepuss about
that. So he's like, oh, right, okay, yes, I understand. So as I'm there, because it's Pat Kenny, my phone is just bip, bip,
yeah, because Lowell, yeah, because there's thousands of people
bipping along, and I'm going, oh, okay. So I came off on Twitter,
did you fall into, yeah.
So the majority of messages were like, actually, Suzanne was very articulate. And at the end, now, his way of going, you've burned the ears off me, an absolute grueler, in Pat Kenny, I would articulate that as, I admire your energy. That's what he said. Admire your energy. Which I was going to get a t-shirt.
That's one of those things that I used to say to stand-ups when they were shy. You know what I mean? And they were shy. So say if they had a gig and they were fucking shit and you were like, oh no. And they'd be like, what do you think of that? I would always, my way around it was, you did, fair play, man, you did it again. That was always my compliment. You did so, it again. Got me elbow awkward situation. So, his, I admire your energy.
It was like, is that one of them? Is it? Basically. So, I was absolutely wound up like a spring. And then I came off and I didn't realise the animal that Pakenny was until I went on to Twitter. And, like, in fairness, there was like 30 Twitter, messages. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was like 30 messages that were
everyone
really
on
nice.
Insane.
Yeah. They were really nice. They were like, Suzanne was really articulate and she gets it. And I think everybody's just so fed up. We're just so fed up. Nobody feels like we're going anywhere. My line that I used in that, by the way, was, what was it that the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach from last year said? If we winter this out, we'll summer it together. Well, Pat, here we are. Another summer, no hope. That was one of my...
It's a good line.
Did you like it?
Oh, that's a very grim line. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I loved it. Yeah.
Thought you'd like that.
I love the the lack of light in that description.
No hope. I think no hope. And then like they had a proper GP on after who was like, yeah, I understand and I hear what Suzanne is saying day in, day out from my patients. I will just say it is the most infectious disease that we've had in a very long time and it's rampant in our community. So I'm like, grand. But anyway.
That's the fucking problem. Like, we all know that much.
We got loads of messages and then this man put up, one of them called me a moron.
Yeah.
The person said I was idiotic. Somebody else said that he didn't understand a word I said. And he replied to somebody who said, I felt Suzanne was very articulate and really got a sense of the mood of the nation.
Yeah.
To which this fucknut replied and said, I had no idea what she was saying. Now, in fairness, I did contradict myself in one of the things I said. And some man was like, she's after saying this. And then I had to laugh and go, because I did. I got carried away. But yeah, I felt like you. Well, I felt like you. I'm cranky
and I defeated.
It just feels a bit like that at the moment. My uncle passed away on my dad's birthday, like last Friday. And it's our first, you know, death in this year that we've lost, you know, a family member. I've been to other funerals, but they're, you know, people that it's, but this is my uncle, like, it's my godfather.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ, the pain, like not being able to get to my auntie's house, not my mom not being able to get to, I haven't seen her sister in a year. Like, they spent 3 days of the week together every single day since my dad died 16 years ago. Like, there's 11 months between them and they haven't been together in a year. And then my uncle Jimmy died and he's my godfather. And I spent my life in Stella Avenue in their house. And when my dad died, he really, you know, stepped up and he like, It's really surreal because you go from this weird world. And on Tuesday, we went to the funeral.
Yeah.
But we just went and stood outside the church. So, like, we literally went.
I know,
went
you
to
just stand in the car park. I've had to do this. It's
park,
shit, yeah.
Stand all the way back.
And all the L ones queue up on 2 metres apart and use the holy water and put on their
no,
heads.
There's no holy water. It's God. They've got. They're selling. There's holy water in plastic bottles, water bottles outside my church because I took one the other day. I don't know why.
Because the rainwater in the local churchyard, when the rainwater gets collected,
and they bless it,
and then the priest comes out and blesses it. So there was no stopping them. You know, Elwyn's going to holy water fountains are like young lads with sacks of cans. Like, it's very uncontrollable. You know what I mean? It's like a fire. It's like when you light a fire and you let the dogs in. They want to sit in front of it and get the heat off it.
That's
like,
fair.
Elwyn's and holy water fountains are a very attractive thing.
They want the goodness of the water.
Do you know what you should do for this podcast?
What's that?
Plan our debts. We should plan our deaths on this podcast. I think this is what we should do. You know what I mean? It dawned on me during the week, right? I was thinking I'd love to even do a TV show about it.
Oh my God, this is really weird.
What?
I wanted to talk to you because I had an idea for a spin-off podcast called Wake Me.
Oh, very good. Well, here you go.
We should definitely do this. A whole series about it, though.
We are 100%. There's a lot to take in.
Because you know the way you say when you die, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know it's, you'll get this, right? So when my dad died, like, the amount of people who went.
You may sound like it was a disease.
You are.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Amount of people who went, oh, geez, Gar would have loved this. He would have loved this.
This is the prop. This is exactly the point.
Yeah. So
this is exactly the point.
But my dad died really suddenly.
Yeah.
So we had to make decisions like the irony of the song. Like, we carried my dad, out of the church to the hollies, the air that I breathe. Oh. Now, it was his favourite song, but singing that about a dead person being carried about a coffin is a contradiction in terms. Sometimes.
Would he seen the humour in it though?
Of course he would. He pissed himself.
Then you're all right then.
Yeah, absolutely. He still used to talk.
It was a very serious man.
No, he used to talk about a cremation that he went to years and years ago. It was his favourite cremation ever went to because the song was I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles because they were West Ham fan.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, that's what you want now.
Yeah.
You know, like you in the Sunday game. Dan!
But
Dan!
See, this is it.
Like that.
This is the thing because we talk all about all these landmark moments in our lives and we plan them.
Yeah.
Look how much planning goes into a wedding, right? Look how much planning goes into a wedding. You talk about it, you think about it, you spend fortunes on it. You like, people don't buy houses to live in, right? At least spend all your money on your funeral. You're fucking, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get a mortgage after your funeral. People are like save up for all these weddings and honeymoons.
Yeah, but everybody leaves money for their funeral. My granny left money for a funeral.
But they don't talk about what they want. They spend all the money on the funeral. They spend all the money on their wedding. But one of those days is planned and the other is left. It's not talked about.
Yeah.
We don't prepare properly. And I mean, when I say plan it, I mean, like, plan our deaths. Like, let's go out and buy the gravestones and all. Like, you know what I mean? Go out and get, like, proper plan it.
See, tell people,
here's what I fucking want.
Do you want to be buried
happens.
Or cremated? Because I definitely don't want to be cremated.
Shout out a cannon.
Right, okay, but if that's not feasible on the day.
See, this is the problem. They won't let you do what you want. Even when you're fucking dead. Even when you're fucking dead, you can't get what you want. I want to be shot out of a cannon. Like, what's business is that? Let the fish eat me. No, you're not allowed
to
pollute
the
sea.
You
want to be a fucking... You have to book a room. You have to get a fucking mortgage. You know, so you can have a piece of land that they can stick in.
How much does a grave cost?
Oh, it's fortunes. It's loads of money.
Is it?
Oh, it's mad money, yeah.
Is there
a
postal code on that?
Yeah, no, I suppose you could get an air code for your grave, can you?
No, I just mean as in terms of where you live.
I think you can get an air code, yeah.
I'm trying to think how much my dad's grave was, but my mum has gone there. But I have 100% decided I do not want to be cremated.
Oh, I do,
I hate the idea of it. And my uncle was cremated the other day.
Why do you
hate it now? Do you know why?
Ashes, you can be left in loads of different places.
I don't want to be fucking scattered around the world, right? But also... But the thing with the grave
around
is
the world,
you
but
put
like, you
me
know,
into
the
not
grave. Great to Dublin area, maybe.
You put me into the grave, right?
Yeah.
And then you throw some soil over me and then you leave and you go and then the grave diggers. Is that what they're called?
Well, the fellas who dug the hole,
Yeah, they come and then they just cover me over, right? And that's me and I'm done, right? But if you bring me to the crematorium, you're going to put me in. By the way, that's the most fucking traumatic thing ever is this, your coffin...
But that doesn't happen in the crematorium. No, when you go to the service.
My uncle's one the other day. It just literally
his
basket was...
No, the curtain's closed and then you have to leave and then the box goes off to the fryer.
That's what happened at my auntie's 2 years ago in the UK. But in my uncle's one, the thing just... It just went like this. Because we're watching it online. I had tea and toast in my kitchen watching a fucking cremation. This is where we're at with this pandemic. So it just goes...
But it wasn't going into the oven.
A little dream.
I know, it's just going to move out of the way.
This is my point. It wasn't going into the oven, right? So it goes... And then the wall just all goes into one, right?
Yeah.
And then the curtains go across and that's Uncle Jimmy, right? And then
my
poor cousins and my aunties...
But that's not the actual cremation.
I understand that.
Oh, beg
your
pardon.
But the problem is that... 15 minutes before, there was a woman called Margaret went through there as well.
Yeah.
They're every 15 minutes. So there's just one... If you go behind that wall, it's just... lines of dead people waiting to get burnt.
But that's what a graveyard is, lines
it's
of dead
not,
people.
It's not, you're in there, that's your spot.
That's the definition of a graveyard. You even have an address, row K, number 9, whatever.
It's a spot. And then at least no one interferes with you then after that. You're done, you're in the ground.
There's loads of people can interfere with you. Anyone can interfere with you when you're laying there. No, everything. Birds and worms.
I'm talking about once you go into a cremation and they have to take it out or they have to stick anything and burn you and then they have to make sure they have your right. No, just put me in the ground, put the gravel over me and like just come. Do you don't have to come? I don't even go to my dad's graveyard because he's not there.
Oh, I never go to the graveyard. Never. This is why I want to be shot out of a cannon into the sea, you know, whatever, in fish food. If there's anything usable, take it out and put it in somebody else. That's another thing people don't talk about their families about.
What?
Like organs and eyes and...
Oh, no, we had that because we were like, we said to the doctors, you can take
anything
that you want. But they couldn't take anything because he'd been absolutely ploughed with so much. They gave him like 100% chemotherapy literally right at the very end of his life.
Right, yeah.
So they were like, he has nothing, like his organs
are... I love they did weird shit with me. Like if they took out my eyes and put them in a dog. You know what I mean? And there was... So it made me sit in the pub and the dog would walk past and they'd be like, you know, they'd be like, Jesus, those eyes. They remind me of so, you know, it'd be so...
That's familiar. Yeah, but like, I think...
Or they took off my elbow and gave it to another fella so we could have three
tattoo.
Elbows. And then you'd be able to pick shit up from me when it falls down behind the radiator and all. You'd have that extra angle. You know what I mean? Someone, because that'd be a good thing. People ask, you know, what would you change about your physical appearance if you could change one thing? And people say, oh, my lips, my arse, whatever. I mean, no, another elbow right here would be so handy. Like halfway between my wrist and my elbow now, another one there.
An extender.
Yeah, be able to itch the inside your in here and all. Well, I'm doing it now with the other hand. But you know, like if you're holding a coffee or like if you could get things that fall down to awkward places and everything. You know all
I
these
mean,
things.
It's something to look into.
I think it'd be really handy. You could even take the one out with this arm. I wouldn't need it.
In terms
if you left
science,
one arm with no elbow real straight and had two in this arm, I think that would be more useful.
I think in terms of science, things like harvesting organs for people to be able to live rather than the extra elbows probably more on the, do you know? But
guess
like, do you want your organ? So this
but
is
you
so
can
this
use
is
them as well.
My wake me. These are
maybe just give someone two hearts. Maybe if you could have a backup heart.
This one kicks in like a generator.
Yeah, like like an emergency heart. You know what I mean? If you could leave it to your family.
Or if this heart got just broken, then you could just put
you'd
another.
You have to turn on
in
the other one.
Yeah, that's true. So for my wake me, and it's also things like the what music do you want played, and then like
exactly
it's in terms of like you know. Who would you hate to see at your funeral? But like,
that's
it could be anyone.
Thing.
Or who would you love to see at your funeral?
That's another thing.
Like, all my dad's pals came from the show bands. And like, he would have just loved to have seen all his mates. And like, all those stories we got to hear about like him travelling and them being up the north and the travels and the troubles and like playing up there and like just mad stuff. Do you know that kind of way?
But this is it. And you don't get the full picture. And then, you know, you get those priests, they come up and they say all the things. They say, and they've never met this person. It's all by reference.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I heard he's a very.
Yeah. Mr. Derek Chapman was a wonderful drummer and he had a passion for fishing. He's been like
as
fishing
you can
twice.
See, as you can see from the fishing rod here.
All of that, yeah. Like, that's
can
not.
You bring up the gifts.
And look, what about like that? All the people turning up that, like, you know, you're not into. Like, you know, you should write, like, plan your funeral. Like,
tell
I want a lad with a guitar that's, like, you know, singing, Auntie Mary, you're a fucker. Married to a wanker's mucker. Fucking named him. I would see my funeral as my last gig without the stage fright.
Right, okay.
My last gig.
Well,
I want to plan so everybody has a good time.
You're
except for Auntie
stiff,
Mary,
not
obviously.
Scared stiff.
You know, huh?
You're just stiff, not scared stiff.
Yeah, yeah, just stiff. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, and like have it like a show, like title it, you know, a backdrop and all. And when people are showing up and there's like things and there's a bit of video. You know,
oh, I'd love that.
Everything's paid for.
If you're watching this,
everyone having a
I've
good
died.
Time.
See, my grandma did that though. My grandma left money, and my dad. I remember my dad got up to read the eulogy about my grandma, and to say it, and he said he was like, "We'd like to invite you to go back to wherever it was. I think probably the club because everything went back to the club, and we've a bit of food there or whatever." And he said, "Because Mam left money or whatever," and she's like, "You know, that's for you make sure it's all planned." And my dad's gag was always like, "That's absolutely no problem, but you still haven't given me the date." Because like you never knew she was going to die. And it's the same like that. We when my dad died, like all of our aunties and uncles, like my mom's cousins that I call my aunties and uncles, you know those family, from like outside Leeds, they all came, the O'Keefes all came and the Mulkeens, and they all came over from York and like all those stories and everybody up in the like it was a fucking whopper day.
Yeah.
Like it was the kids were all there. They were all brought off to the cinema. All my little like what you are now 20 like, but all my little cousins all went off to movies at Dundrum. They had a
so
gushy.
Rare.
We did a gushy.
Yeah.
Like it was there was gorgeous food. Like it was just it was a gorgeous day. I know that's
no, it doesn't. It's brilliant.
We had the best day ever.
Listen, funerals
like,
are much better than weddings.
Much
like,
better.
Much better. You can sit beside who you want. You can eat what you want. You can have the crack. You get you have a couple of pints, and then all of a sudden the stories start coming. Remember the time the mad bastard went to the. You have all of that sort of crack, and there's once you get past the nodding's the hard part of the funeral. The nodding's the hard. There's a lot of nodding at the funeral, isn't there?
Thanks.
No, you're not like looking at people and saying nothing.
The outside waiting because you can't be too nice or laughing. Yeah. There's always one person who laughs at a funeral and you're like.
Yeah. I would laugh at a lot of funerals.
Yeah, I laugh when I'm nervous, which is not good.
I laugh very much
and
at a funeral. I think I told you this before, did I? And the priest was saying, the priest said, when you go, what was it? When you go diving, you wear a diving suit. Did I tell you this before? And when you go to space, you wear a space suit. And this was merely Mary's body suit. I was like, this is the fucking wildest thing. And like, I don't remember
thinking. Did I have the three?
Huh? Oh, buttons?
Yeah.
No, there's no buttons. Just your.
No, you know, like that's what I think of. It's like I see Mary in a bodysuit then with three buttons.
No, a bodysuit was our
like,
actual body.
No,
if you know
I understand what you're saying.
Oh, sorry,
but
I'm
when
fucking
he says,
not getting it today. I'm really slow today. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I'm not torn down.
I'm thrown. No. Okay, don't.
See, there you go again. That was totally the wrong turn of phrase again. Typical. That's the wrong turn of phrase again. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
What I said is that we think.
I'm very distracted. I'm not feeling myself at all this week. I'm not feeling myself at all. Very distracted. Oh,
when you said about Mary in the bodysuit, I always thought about those. You know the bodysuits that girls wear, used to wear, and they go down underneath them. They're like baby girls, and they have three poppers in the groin, like underneath.
Oh
yeah. Yeah, right. But they were always like if boys tried to. Stick their hands down your pants when you were grown, you know, when you were a teenager, if they were going for the L.
Would you be wearing
pot.
Them as a teenager? You wear something when you're like three, do you?
No. Not vests.
They're for nappies, they to, for putting they, nappies
yeah,
on.
Yeah, but they used to have, be, but like you have body suits now. Like women would wear like a polo neck bodysuit that they click, so they're just, they're flush underneath your little jeans or your whatever. Yeah. Bodysuits.
So like to be like, no, but not with the buttons and the crotch
in
them.
Yeah.
Like they're going to, like you would change a nappy, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but they're for women. But like they're not for nappies, they're just for a fashion that it's.
I always thought women got into them through the neck.
No, you.
I always thought you got into them through the neck. That's why I was always thinking every time I saw women wearing them in the pubs, and I was thinking, I was saying, she's in the nude in the toilet now.
Yeah.
That's like why I always thinking that happened, because the whole thing.
No, she's not. If you're in it, if you wear a play suit or a jumpsuit, like if it buttons up here, you have to take the whole thing off.
But those yokes you're talking about, the top, they look like swimsuits, like a swimsuit.
Yeah, that's it, with poppers, yeah.
I didn't realise it was poppers at the bottom. That's one of those things they never should have gotten rid of. Remember the way years ago a lad could go to bed in his undercrackers and wake up and instead of taking them off, he could just open two buttons at the back. You know, that was like Scrooge, you know. Like it was too big, like there was a flap.
Yeah. Look, see,
they never should have gotten rid of the man flap. Yeah, I thought they got into those through the neck.
No.
Yeah.
You just put them over your head like a normal... Excuse me, person, then you just do three poppers.
They never should have got rid of the man flap. I'm just saying, the man flap, we need to bring back the man flap. The one like Scrooge. So when you get up and it's in winter and you have your, you wear, it's like a fig set of long johns. But there's a flap at the back with two buttons. So if
you're having a poo.
Yeah, yeah, for doing your bodily necessities, yeah. So you can go.
Even if there's a flap at the front to put your willy out.
No, it's a big square. You fit everything in it. You, when you bend over, everything moves backwards, like, you know. And then like, the man flap was a very... I don't think we should have gotten it. Even I'd like a pair of jeans with a man flap. Like, and then you could replace it. I was raging this week. Right. Me jeans. I went through another pair of jeans on the crotch. In the crotch area. I was raging. And they were nice jeans too. I was raging. Now I'm down to two, right? And one of them's too small. And one of them's too big. And I was thinking now... Well, I wasn't thinking then. I'm thinking now. If I had a man flap, like... If you could just replace your gusset... In your jeans, you'd be able to keep the jeans you like
so
for longer.
How are you rubbing through? Is it from being on the bike?
I don't know.
Stuff,
I don't know. I think my legs just rub together up the top there. I'd say if I wasn't wearing the jeans, like I'd be red raw. I'd need one of those nappies.
Chafing.
Yeah. So I think there's
you
a rubbing.
You could get the chafing cream for your bike. Isn't what it's called? Ball sack rub or something.
So wait, you hear about this, right?
Bike one. Sorry.
Years ago.
Forget about Mary anyway and her body. Yeah. She was in her body suit.
So years ago, we were doing this thing for. What's it called? The Children's Crumlin Children's Hospital.
Right.
And it was Route 66, right? So it's Route 66 and you raise money for Crumlin Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sponsors involved in this, right?
Okay.
And one of the sponsors packages we got for it was from this company called Kiehl's, right? Now, I never heard of Kiehl's
before. Oh, they do moisturiser and stuff.
I did not know that that's what that was. So they sent us all this moisturizer before we left and I assumed it was a motorbike company that made a cream for saddle sores. And over the course of 2 weeks, I put three tubs of that up me hole. going across Route 66. And I have to say, I was very smooth.
Not a crinkle in sight.
But I couldn't believe it. I was there because one of the women, Angie McNulty, that ran the whole thing, that works for Temple Street Hospital. Or Temple Street, not Crumlin, I beg your pardon, it was Temple Street. And she said to me, did you get the thing from Kiehl's? That's very expensive stuff. And I was there, yeah, so I've gone through it anyway. And she was like, you've gone through it? Like three tubs or four tubs or whatever. I was there, yeah, yeah. And she was like, what do you mean? I was there, yeah, well, I just used it. Like, and it was then it became apparent. It's not for saddle sores. I was getting up every day and taking a big lump. I'm rubbing it all the time with my legs and up my arse. I'm sitting on the motorbike all day. And at the end of the day, I'm doing it again. So I was going through a quarter of a tub every time.
Your arse is looking basically like it's had a facelift.
Yeah,
did
I guess.
Did you find
so.
It worked on the crinkles?
It's like Botox, like.
Fucking love Botox. Do you know what?
I
just said this morning on my Instagram account, there should be like a spa that opens up that offers a treatment that gives you a full body massage, gives you Botox, wax or laser, whatever you want to do in terms of hair. I'll have that. Does your hair, paints your nails, and like no one calls you ma. And Botox resurfaces your face like a full.
What's that mean? Resurface? You can't. What's that mean? Resurfaces.
Oh, like proper microdermabrasion on your face. And your face comes out and you look like you've been in an acid attack.
So, God, I tell you, it's very hard. Very hard, isn't it? The pressures you just put on yourselves. And
it's not pressure putting on myself. I just
like
want
I always think to myself, if I can shave on Sunday, That's what I think. Like, I genuinely always think if I shave on Sunday, I won't be itchy.
We should be okay.
You know that way. If I miss a week, I'm always, oh, fuck, I'll miss it again. Like, that's it. That's the pressure right there.
Insane.
If I shave on Sunday.
Before we finish up on this on this podcast,
yeah.
We asked people to send in questions for We Can't Heal Your Life.
Yeah.
So basically, you ask us a question and we will either be able to heal your life or not, but we actually won't be able to heal life, but we can ask a question. So I'm trying to find the question.
You get many answers on it?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like loads of people.
So this was, right. So you can have either, because we're not going to name.
You sound like me now. You've gone all mysterious all of a sudden. Like you're flicking through this. Like,
right. So you can go for one, two or three. Pick number one, pick two or three.
One.
Okay. This is We Can't Solve Your Life. Actually, this doesn't count. This is just a question. We'll do another one. Why doesn't PJ just buy his mom's house? Only him and his sister. It would only be half price.
Why didn't I fucking think of that? Because I can't get a fucking mortgage. I can't even buy anything. Like, that's the whole point. The problem, I can't buy anything.
Have you seen Owen?
I have seen him. I did, so did I tell you that I met him?
No.
Oh, I met him. He's a dream killer. I met him. Here's what happened, right? I met Owen about all the finance things and everything, right?
Right.
A very nice, very helpful fella and all. Knows his shit, the whole lot, right?
Yeah.
Talked to him.
Yeah.
Essentially, he basically listened to what I was making and all and ruled out any chance of retirement in my life, essentially. which hurt. And then he said to me, I need you to fill out this form, right?
Right.
And he sent me all this form and everything.
Yeah.
And I've read it twice and I still don't understand it.
Okay.
I actually can't. And that's terrible, isn't it? You get the best person around to give you advice and you can't understand.
Did you tell him that you can't understand the form?
No.
Right, you probably should tell him.
I don't understand even the questions on it.
Right.
I understand the basic ones.
Okay.
I can't understand the rest of them.
Name, address, date of birth.
I get all that shit. That's fine. I get all that shit. And then it goes into other stuff. I can't even understand the form. This is the story of my fucking life. So now I'm sitting on a form for 2 weeks that I have too much anxiety to take on the form.
Okay.
I have too much fucking mental anxiety in the middle of this pandemic to actually take on filling out the form.
Things are very difficult. Like, I feel like that. Everything feels very overwhelming.
So exhausting. Everything's so overwhelming.
I felt that last week. It was like emails. I need to get back to people. I need to read stuff for something for a gig that I'm doing. And I need to do this or whatever. And I actually said to Joey the other night, I was like, I physically don't have the brain power at the moment to do it. I can't. Like, even the house, trying to clean the house is just exhausting.
And then you get into the what's the points, right? So you know what I mean? Yeah. So you do the thing.
I need to earn money, so I have to do the work. Well, yeah, but,
this is the thing.
So depressing.
This is the thing. So you go,
we were really rich.
You finally, you know, get in touch with Owen and he's brilliant and all. And then you think, he goes, here's what we're going to do. We'll make a plan. And then I go, oh, what's the point? I'm going to be unemployed next week. Fuck it anyway. Oh, what's the point? I probably won't be able to make money this time next year anyway. Fuck it. What's the point of doing all this? I can't get out anyway. What's the point? You know, you start falling down the what's the point hole. What was the point of doing all this in the first place? I would have been better off if I never did any jobs. What was the, you know, you get into that fucking depressing shithole, or I do anyway.
So
and then I come in here and I only start realising how stupid it is when you start fucking laughing at me. Anyway.
So we can't solve your life or we can't heal your life. I have guilt and self-doubt and feeling like I'm behind in life.
Yeah.
I'm nearly 32 and I'm not where I thought I'd be.
Yeah. You know what the problem there is? Expectation. That's the fucking thing. This is what we all do to ourselves. We all look at everybody else and we all assume that they're happier than we are.
Yeah. Because
we
live our life through a lens of them. But also what is it? Where did you think you'd be? Like I thought
I'd be able to buy a house. That's gone. No, that's not even an option. Like, that's gone.
The house.
Yeah, that's gone.
Can you buy a shed?
No, this is about making some plans so that I don't starve to death in 10 years. That's gone. There's no house. Like.
No, you just stay with your mum.
No, well, I don't know what to fucking do.
Or if you were capable of love, you could find a woman who has a house and you could go and live with her.
Oh my God, we're back
you
to this
could
again.
Be her, you could be her little sugar baby.
Like, remember
we
were saying
honey,
remember
a bit of PJ, honey.
Oh my God.
Hey lady, I'll come live with you.
Outrageous.
I'll be your PJ, honey.
So yeah, get to ruin another.
You could just, just, I don't know, flaunt your sexual wares, you know.
Oh my God, that sounds exhausting. flaunt your sexual wares. Is there anything more or less tasteful than a 45-year-old man flaunting his sexual wares? No, but I'm doing, yeah. But to answer the question of the person,
yes,
right? Yeah, like the hardest thing you can do is give yourself a fucking break, innit?
Oh yeah, why? I don't need anybody else to be shitty to me. I'm way shittier to myself.
Yeah, this is it. If anybody spoke to her, I presume is it a woman?
Yeah.
If anybody spoke, and this is just what this is the only thing I can say to this woman. If anybody spoke to you the way you're speaking to yourself now, you would tell them to fuck off, and you know you'd be right. Yeah. If anyone spoke to your husband or your kids or your friends or even your fucking dog the way you're speaking to yourself now, you would see it for being so as wrong as it is, and you would tell them to fuck off. But you're saying it to yourself, and nobody else is saying it to you.
Yeah.
And you can only see your problems. You can't see everybody else's. You're doing, I'll tell you something, you even sent a message, you're doing better than most. Nobody has what they fucking want. I have fucking nothing I wanted, and I still have to look at myself every day and go, you're fucking doing better than most. You're doing better than most. Give yourself a break. Take your foot off your own fucking neck.
But also, do you know what? I think sometimes if you look back,
try and see yourself through someone else's eyes. That's the thing. Look at yourself in someone else's eyes.
Now, I have
people looking at you and they want everything you have.
That, and that's it, though, as well. It's perception. But also, I think it's hard. I think, though, if you sometimes, which.
Especially when you're miserable.
Like you.
Yeah, your worldview changes. You know the way the world, you know the way your worldview changes.
Yeah.
You see what you've prepared yourself to see, you know. Like when you're in a bad mood, you see bad shit everywhere. When you're in a good mood, you see good shit everywhere.
Smile and the world smiles back.
And then if you don't like yourself, you only see the bad shit in yourself. Now, you can ignore all the good things you do.
That's true. And like, I think
look at those, look at people who are actually pricks and they fucking love themselves. Like, that's the delusion.
But that's not the way, though. It always is. Like, I know someone who's just evil and nasty and a horrible person, but holds themselves in the highest regard. You know, like, they honestly, whereas I'm like, if I had a shred of that self-belief, like even a shred of it.
Yeah, a bit of it, yeah.
I'd be flying it. Honestly, I'd be flying it. Like, even that the other day, because I said something in the house and I was like, Joey, I need to start working out. I need to do something. I need, like, on my stomach, I just can't. And he just turned around and he was like, do you want to give yourself a break? And I went, no, because I can't. And I said something. He's like, can you not talk about my wife like that? And I kind of went,
see, that's it.
Oh, wow, okay.
That's it,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I got you. And I was like, yeah, okay.
That's
the
nail on the head.
Yeah, meanwhile, if someone wants to offer me liposuction, I'll take it.
You'll have a way of pissing on the cake, you know that?
I don't. Yeah.
Says me.
Take the cake and piss on it. How are we doing for time, Al?
We're all right.
Woo!
Do you want to do another one?
Oh, yeah, we'll record another one. But before we go, don't forget you can...
Do another question before we go.
Do another question.
Go
on. Can you explain to me why I listen to 12 Dublin podcasts in one day?
I can't. I don't know, because it's a fucking pandemic. I don't know. I can't. Unfortunately, I don't.
In fairness, someone sent me... we'll talk about it in the next week's podcast as well. Months and months and months and months ago, years ago actually, we talked about the young lad at the head of the Artane Boys Band, leading out the Artane Boys Band.
Yeah.
Do you remember him?
I do remember him.
He sent me a WhatsApp message.
He sent me one as well.
Did he?
He sent me a message.
Not WhatsApp, an Instagram. IG. Did you reply?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
I can read you.
I literally only found mine this morning. We'll talk about it in the next podcast.
Okay, yeah.
Don't forget, you can subscribe for the bonus bits. You can subscribe from €5 a month. Head stuff. Go on to there and go on and register. We didn't even get to talk about, we probably won't what? Now. Didn't get to talk about Joey's rage yesterday, tweeting.
Oh, yeah.
No.
You've calmed down now.
Yeah, I won't rile myself back up again. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and you can headstuffpodcast.com. You can go on there and you can register if you'd like some bonus. What do we call it? The Bulmers Club? No, the cider room.
The champagne
room.
It's
not really champagne.
Well, what did you call it? You called it the cider room, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's more cider.
Okay, the cider room, yeah.
The flagging corner. The flagging chair. Anyway, if you want a lovely bit of extra material, we'd be happy that if you did that. Thanks anyway.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.